They say, if you would take all the people who either get tired in church, kind of you're fighting back, the eyelids are starting to close, or they flat out sleep. You took all those people and you would lay them end to end to end. They would be a lot more comfortable. That is so old. That is an old joke. Hey, glad you're here. How many of you were here last weekend? All right, so we're in a series about relationships. Because I had kind of bookend two different messages in the same venue, last week was our relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. This week, we're going to talk about our relationship with the Holy Spirit because it is Pentecost Sunday. Happy Pentecost to you. Happy Pentecost to you. So here's the deal. Pentecost is one of those kind of unknown holidays. I don't know what the deal is for sure. I do know a little bit. Culture has helped us to remember Christmas, yeah? Santa Claus, presents, lots of good food, yeah? So the media and society and secular society has embraced Christmas, so it's a big deal. And within the mindset of Christians, you gotta go to church somewhere around Christmas, right? And celebrate Christmas. And so our typical attendance in a Christian church doubles on Christmas, and it doubles on Easter. Those are like the pillars of the Christian holidays. Not so much Pentecost. When I took a survey last week, I think there were only a couple of hands who actually knew that today was Pentecost. So, as I talk about how to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, we need to back up just a little bit with some history about Pentecost. Now, how many people's eyes started getting droopy when I said history? You're like, oh my gosh, I don't like history. But it'll be fun. You ready? Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be fast and furious. So Pentecost was actually, or is actually, a Jewish holiday. Before the text that we're about to read about the day of Pentecost in the Christian calendar, there was a Jewish celebration called Pentecost. Pentecost celebrated the giving of the law to Moses and the Jewish people on the mountain called Sinai. Now, you're getting kind of sleepy already. It's like, I don't know anything that he just said. Remember the movie Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston? Now you're tracking with me, right? Because every Easter, Channel 9 shows that movie over and over and over again until Jesus comes back, right? That's the story of the Israelites being freed from slavery in Egypt, and they received the law through Moses on the tablets on Mount Sinai. Pentecost celebrates that event. That was a big deal, is a big deal in Jewish history, right? I mean, like, duh, that is a big deal. Fast forward now to the New Testament, the New Covenant. And on the day of Pentecost, the story that we're going to be reading shortly, it happened, the giving of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place coincidentally, on Pentecost, the day that Moses received the law. In the New Covenant, Christians are going to receive, not a Bible, wouldn't that be something? I got new Bibles for you, it's Pentecost. And we'll just pass out Bibles, be like the Gideons. On the day of Pentecost, the Gideons were all assembled, and they got copies of the entire Bible, and they passed it out to all the believers. No, that's not what it was. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Yeah? All right, sounds good. So, close to you, there's a piece of paper. If you can grab that. I've got so much to read that to put it on the slides would have been really hard, and I didn't want you turning all over in your Bibles so we can be fast and kind of furious here, but I want to go over some of the backstory and the actual story of the day of Pentecost, and we're going to have fun. All right, so let's start with Luke chapter 24, verse 49, which should be the first verse that you've got on your sheet. So here's the deal. Before Jesus ascends back to the Father, he He's resurrected from the tomb, and then he ascends to the Father. During the time he makes these guest appearances in his new body, it's about 40 days. 40 days from Easter, Jesus pops in and pops out. He eats with the disciples. He walks with the two on the road to Emmaus. You may remember that story. He's popping in and out. He's going through walls. He's suddenly appearing. He disappears. It's like amazing. He eats in this new body, which kind of blows your mind. It's like, dude, how did he do that? And he says, well, I've got this new body. I'm able to appear and reappear. I'm able to eat food, but it's not like my old body. It's like a resurrected body. Yeah? 40 days. During that time, he says to the disciples in Luke 24, verse 49, I am going to send I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city, he's talking about Jerusalem, until you have been clothed with power from on high. So here's the deal. When God, the creator of all things and all of us, chooses words to communicate ideas with us, he chooses all different kinds of metaphors and expressions. And the one that Jesus chose is to say that when this Holy Spirit comes, when this thing the Father has promised comes, it's going to be like you are clothed with power. Now, how many, do we have any Avengers fans? Anybody like the superhero kind of things? We've got 2, 3, 4. Okay. When I think about the Avengers, I think about guys and gals who are getting clothed, right, with all different kinds of powers. It's a little bit, that's not a bad analogy to think about what Jesus is talking about. Something is going to happen to you on this day, and it's going to feel like you are an Avenger, kind of, sort of, in a way. All right? You tracking with me? I'm just trying to make it contemporary, but this idea, something is going to happen on this day. Now we go to the book of Acts, which is also written by Luke. Luke, in Acts chapter 1, is going to replay a little bit of that conversation that Jesus had with the apostles before he ascended back to the heavens. And here's what Luke writes in Acts chapter 1. Dear Theophilus, in my first book, the Gospel of Luke, I wrote about all the things that Jesus did and taught from the time he began his work until the day he was taken up to heaven. Before he was taken up, he gave instructions by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, first point, let's pause. I'll kind of break up this reading. This is critically important, and I did not get this in my own journey of faith for a long time. All right? Jesus is our example. We are to walk in his steps. We are to imitate him. In some way, the scriptures call him, he is our big brother. Okay? He is a part of the family, and the pattern of Jesus, the things that happen to Jesus, are examples for our life. So when we see that Jesus did things by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not a one-off. It's like, well, this is just for Jesus. The rest of you, for all eternity, don't pay any attention because this is not relevant to you. It is relevant, as we'll see in just a few moments. He gave instructions by the power of the Holy Spirit to the men he had chosen as his apostles. For 40 days after his death, he appeared to them many times in ways that proved beyond doubt that he was alive. They saw him, and he talked with them about the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is basically saying the rule and the reign of God on earth. The kingdom of God is the rule and reign. And so when Jesus said in the model prayer that we are to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is interested in getting the kingdom of heaven down on earth through us. Now, doesn't that make your head spin? Yeah. And when they came together, he gave them this order. Do not leave Jerusalem, But wait for the gift I told you about, the gift my Father promised. John, that's John the Baptist, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Baptized is an interesting word. It basically means to be immersed. And so it's going to be like God is going to pour out his Holy Spirit in such abundance, it's going to flood our very being. So Jesus initially says it's like being clothed with power, yeah? Now, extending that analogy a little bit, it's almost like you're just immersed in power. You're fully saturated with God's Holy Spirit, all right? When the apostles met together with Jesus, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time give the kingdom back to Israel? The disciples are in la-la land. They're totally disconnected. They don't get it. All they can think about, if the kingdom is coming, will it help us get rid of the Romans? Will it help us be in charge again? Will we go back to the glory days of David and Solomon and have political reign, right? That's where their mind is. Jesus said to them, the times and occasions are set by my Father's own authority, and it's not for you to know what they'll be. It's kind of like you're getting me off subject here. Let's get back with what the kingdom of God is like. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, apostles, you will be filled with power, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. All right, so let's back up one little bit here just so we can get this point. I mentioned last week from 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, this kind of little, small little portion of the scripture that says, in this world, we are like Jesus. That's one of those kind of verses that it's like, well, what does that mean that you and me today in Westchester 2019 are like Jesus? Like, is John being real? Is he kidding? No. He's not kidding. He is being real. The reason we can be like Jesus is the same gift that animated Jesus, the same spirit that animated Jesus animates us. Let's go back and look at the story of Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit. And John the Baptist gave this testimony, John 1:32. I saw the Spirit, Holy Spirit, come down like a dove. Now, I don't think it was literally a bird that was flying. Again, we've got the weaknesses of just analogies and metaphors and everything else. But this spiritual presence comes down from heaven and lands on Jesus and remains on him, the scriptures say. I still did not know that he, Jesus, was the one, but God, who sent me to baptize with water, had said to me, you will see the Spirit come down and stay on a man. He is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I have seen it, said John, and I tell you that he is the Son of God. Now, the reason that Jesus is so concerned that we understand the kingdom of God and the power that is intrinsic within the Holy Spirit is that he wants us to be his ambassadors, his representatives, duly appointed, duly authorized, duly empowered, so that we can represent him today on the earth. Now, to me, that is exciting. That is very, very exciting to know that we have a mission, we have a plan, we have a purpose, and we have the power to fulfill that mission. John 14, verses 16 through 18 is where John really kind of spells out what this power source in us is like. Look at that, John 14, 16 through 18. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Helper is an expression for the Holy Spirit. Who will do what? He will stay with you forever. He is the Spirit who reveals the truth about God. The world cannot receive him because it cannot see him or know him, But you know him, because he remains with you and is in you. When I go, you will not be left alone. Now look at this phrase. I will come back to you. Now what is Jesus talking about? He is not talking about the second coming. He is talking about that when the Holy Spirit comes through what we understand as the Trinity, Jesus is in us when the Holy Spirit is in us. This is the way Jesus is thinking. I'm not going to leave you guys. I'm coming back. And it's going to be much different. It's not going to be like I'm out here and you're over there kind of relationship. I am going to clothe you. I am going to baptize you. I'm going to immerse you with my presence. It's going to be a whole new ball game. It's actually going to be better. In fact, Jesus says in another text, it's better that I go. I don't know if you remember that verse before or not, but Jesus says, it's better that I go. In a little while, the world will see me no more, but you will see me. And because I live, you also will live. When that day comes, you will know that I am in my Father. This is Trinity kind of language coming out. I am in my Father, and that you are in me just as I am in you. That's very kind of mystical, which is very true of John. But this is the deal. This is the big enchilada. That Jesus comes close to us, near to us, inside of us, through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let me pause and then we'll read Acts chapter 2. In the Old Testament, through what we know as like Sinai and the law and our relationship, what it would have been like if we had been Jews living under the Old Covenant, the way that it worked, if I was a good Jew wanting to be a very ceremonially clean Jew, I wanted to be a good Jew and I didn't want to get tainted by sin, I had to be very careful as I moved about that I didn't touch certain kinds of things because I would be defiled, I would be unclean, I would be tainted, and it would separate me from my relationship with God. Okay, that's part of like the old covenant kind of story. And so if someone happened to have leprosy, it was like mandated that they would call out, unclean, 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 so you didn't accidentally bump them and become unclean. Are you with me? So it's this attitude that I want to stay away from anything that might pollute me or taint me. All right? In the New Covenant, in the New Testament, everything is upside down, backwards, different. Okay? When the Holy Spirit comes and fills us and clothes us with power, we suddenly become the cleaning agent. And we go around and touch unclean things and make them clean. Now that is a 180. So I'm not worrying as I walk around that this person over here that is struggling with something, let's call it a sin, they are separate from God. I don't have to worry that their cooties, their sin cooties, are going to get on me and taint me. Jesus walked around and touched people who had sin cooties, right? And said, you are forgiven. You are restored in your relationship with God. If someone had a disease like leprosy, Jesus didn't care, right? He walked up and he did what? It was like, oh, he touched a leper. Oh my goodness. How could Jesus touch a leper and not worry about getting leprosy or worrying that his relationship with God had been altered? How does that work? He was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us takes us from a place of being like constantly on defense. We are suddenly on offense, and we are bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. We are ambassadors. We are co-laborers. Isn't that awesome? That is awesome. Thank you. I need an amen here. Amen. Amen. Come on. You guys are behind on me here. You got to catch up. All right. So let's read about the day of Pentecost here in Acts chapter 2 with that kind of setting about what's going to take place. When the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly, there was a noise from the sky which sounded like a strong wind blowing. Now, they say like when a tornado is coming that it sounds like a what? Freight train. So I'm wondering if there was kind of a rumble. Ooh, something is happening. We hear this sound. Now, we don't know that a wind was actually blowing, but we know there was this dynamic sound. Something is happening. The God of the universe is opening the heavens, and his presence is coming crashing down into this place where the believers are gathered, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire. Now, I'm not sure what this looked like. I've had one person explain it, maybe even as like little fire tornadoes that were kind of spinning above the apostles, above the disciples. It could have been that separated was not that it separated among the 120, but maybe it looked like a fork, like a two-pronged fork above them. I'm not sure. We don't know. But here's the deal, and here's how it ties in with the original Pentecost. When the Jews assembled around Mount Sinai, they're like, oh my goodness, that mountain is shaking. There is fire representing the presence of God on that mountain. He had said, if anyone even touches that mountain during this time, they will die. Keep everybody back. That was the attitude that everyone had as they saw God descend on Mount Sinai. Are you with me? We do the 180 turn, and now instead of people staying away from the fire comes to everybody. He pours out his fire, his presence, and it's not stay away from the mountain. I am going to come to you. Are you seeing the 180? You see how that's completely different? And the problem, unfortunately, is that we grew up learning about Christianity with a lot of Old Testament baggage. All right? We have this syncretistic kind of thing where we mix old and new together. The new message is that the fire of God, the presence of God, wants to come close to us. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to come so close, he identifies with us and is in us. That is amazing. That is an amazing description of a relationship. It spread out and touched each person that was there. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. And it gives a list of all the different people who are representative, and they're like, this is crazy insane. These disciples are talking about the wonders of God, and I know they don't know my language, but they're speaking my language. It was miraculous. And they're like, we're hearing all this amazing stuff. What is going on? And some people are like, oh, come on, making fun of the believers. They're drunk. And I often wondered, what did they look like as this fire is on them, as they're speaking in these languages, declaring the wonders of God, that the skeptics would say, you guys been drinking too much, right? Well, here's what I think it was. I think in addition to the power that they were now clothed with, I think they were happy. I think they were joyful. If you've ever had a glass of wine and you know what a person looks like when they've had one, two, three, too many glasses of wine, they have a certain kind of behavior that gets silly. Are you with me here? They almost look like they are giddy, like beside themselves. I think there was a little element of these people were so happy to have the presence of God in them that it gave them this countenance that it almost looked like they had had too much wine. Are you with me? I'm not saying that they're like falling over drunk, but there was this happiness there was this elation in them that it looked like maybe they had been drinking. And of course, Peter goes on to say, no, that's not what's happening. They are not filled with wine. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. So here's what I'd like us to do as we think about what does this mean for us today? How can I take this and actually use it to enhance my relationship with the Holy Spirit? So here's the deal. When I think about speaking to a group like this, I'm always taking inventory of what has it been like in my relationship with the Holy Spirit, and what were those roadblocks that kept me from really enjoying a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I'm 99.9% sure that there is this stigma out there, if I let the Holy Spirit get close to me, I'm going to become weird. If I let the Holy Spirit get close to me, it's not going to be good. I think the reason is that by nature, we as humans like to be in control. There's something weird when we're not in control. Now, this is just my assessment about watching human nature, but it feels weird when we're not in control. Yes? Yes? Play with me for just a moment here. If God the Father has made you in His image, in His likeness, first part of Genesis we talked about last week, if that is true, if God sent His one and only Son to take away all of our sins and to deposit into our account His righteousness, so that in this world we are like Jesus, let's pretend all of that is true, would he not, in giving you His promise and giving you His gift and clothing you with this promise and this gift, or filling you with this promise and this gift, wouldn't it be the best thing we could imagine? Follow with the logic with me here. Why would we expect anything else? I think it's because we've seen and heard things that actually, I think there's some bad PR going around about the Holy Spirit, honestly. So I'm going to ask you to just set all of that bad PR aside just for a moment. Are you tracking with me? Somebody say, you're on. You're spot on. You're on. Okay. I thought so. I don't think I'm the only one. I like to be in control. It feels weird. I don't even like it when I get my teeth cleaned and somebody's inside my mouth. It's like, you're just a little bit too close to me. Are you with me? Like there's something that's like, don't get too invasive with me. Don't get in my space. That's just how we are as humans. Yeah? I'm going to ask you just to get 1% more open, 2% more open, and just imagine that this person of the Trinity called the Holy Spirit, when He gets closer to you, when He gets inside of you, it's going to be a good thing and not a bad thing. Yeah? Just imagine. And we're going to put some a prayer or a commitment on the screen. And the very best that you can, if you've got that much faith and belief, I want you to apply that much faith and belief as you repeat after me. If you've got a ton and you're like, oh, I'm so glad He's saying this, this makes sense, this is what I've been longing for, then you take a ton of faith and you just read this and act like something's going to happen. Now, I don't know if we're going to hear the sound of a violent wind. I don't know if the place is going to be shaken as you do this. But I believe if you will lean in a little bit to the relationship. Remember last week I talked about the little love note. I like you. Do you like me? Check yes or no type thing. Send a little note to the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I like you. I want to try you. I want to try you on. See how the clothing fits. I want to dip my toe into the water, outpouring of water. I'm playing with all the different metaphors here, yeah? All right? So just kind of chill. Put your hands maybe on your lap like this as a posture of, I want to get something. I want something today. I've got some information. Now I want to experience a relationship. Yeah? I want to sense your presence. I've said this on multiple occasions, but I know that John Wesley midpoint kind of in his journey realized that he did not sense a personal relationship with God like he wanted to. And mid-ministry, he has this encounter with some people who experience God different through the Holy Spirit. He's like, I want that. And after John Wesley opened himself up to this new teaching, he said that I felt this strange warming in my heart, this sensation. That was God. That was the Holy Spirit. That was Jesus. Maybe you will feel strangely warmed, okay? Maybe you'll feel just a sense of peace. It's like, oh, I have been so stressed and so keyed up. And I did this simple exercise, and it's like, wow, wow. If that's the way it works, I want more of that, Lord. All right, so repeat after me. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
I am waiting for you.
I am waiting for you.
You are welcome to live in me. I receive you as a gift.
I want to host your presence.
Now, two things that I did in my journey is I felt like I grieved the Holy Spirit, and Paul says in Ephesians not to grieve the Holy Spirit, and he also says not to quench the Holy Spirit. So if, like me, you felt like, I think I've kind of kept the Holy Spirit at arm's length. If that is kind of your story is kind of like my story, just acknowledge, like, hey, I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? And say, I don't want to grieve you. I don't want to grieve you. I don't want to quench you. I want more of you. So here's the deal. This is kind of a commercial. At the bottom of the sheet is my email address. And as an extension of this commercial, I'm going to be doing a 5-week experience about hosting, being a good host to the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I'd love for you to be a part of that. I don't know yet when it's going to be, but if you'll just email me and in the subject line, just put, I want more. Just do it, and we'll have an amazing time together, okay? All right, so let's pray. Father, thank you. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. Not only is Pentecost underrated because the secular society has not embraced it, but the reality is our enemy does not want us to know this. Our enemy, the devil, longed to be like God. He wanted so much, he tried to grab it and got demoted and cast out of the heavens for that reason. And now he looks at us and he is jealous. He is doggone jealous that we are made in your image. We are filled with your presence. We are given power and authority, the scripture says, to crush Satan underneath our feet. And Lord, we want to step into that power, and we say, this is a new day. We're turning a new page. This is a new chapter. We're doing a 180. We're going from passiveness, like we just got our fire insurance, and glory hallelujah, we don't have to go to hell, and we're just going to sit around and wait till Jesus comes back. No. We're going to go on the offense. We have been given power and authority, and we receive that power and authority right now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. All right, awesome. Hey, I got the bat signal from Lynn Martini that said that Rick Martini and Rob are not here today, and there are men to do chairs. So if somebody's would stay and help me put away chairs and tables, I would be grateful. All right? Y'all have a good week, and happy Pentecost to you. Happy Pentecost to you. All right. Thank y'all.